Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Time for parenting. David Carey
joins us once again. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon and welcome back, Sean.
Thank you very much,
great
David.
Great to have you here.
Nice to be back. Right, first question is this. My 11-year-old son is very concerned about his weight. He likes to be very skinny and compares himself to other boys his age. He likes to wear skinny jeans. If he thinks his belly is getting bigger, he says, I want to diet. He looks in the mirror and weighs himself on the scales. His older sister was never this concerned. He is skinny. He eats what I put in front of him, so I'm not concerned about his diet. He is active and plays lots of sports. Should I be concerned?
You should be mildly concerned. I wouldn't raise the panic flags just yet. This doesn't sound like it's a full-blown body dysmorphia. Isn't it a sign of the times, however, that so many young people get their images of what attractiveness is from the advertising industry and the television industry and the magazine industry, etc., but that can't be avoided. I think it might be a good idea to get him a book, go with him actually, and look for a book on cooking and nutrition and whatnot. Get him some information about proper eating, because he has the word diet in his head. Dieting is useless. In fact, it's been said so many times that it's almost doesn't need to be repeated that the best way to gain weight is to go on a diet.
Yes.
And a child who's 11 shouldn't be thinking about dieting. He should be thinking about eating properly. Now, I know that's part of the primary school curriculum, but this is a case where it might need to be reinforced, maybe a visit to a nutritionist or a dietitian, just on a one-off, to give him information about what represents proper eating and some information about a proper mix in terms of lifestyle. But he's very active. He plays a lot of sports. I think it needs a little monitoring. I would not engage in a lot of excessive a give-and-take conversation with him about this, because that will only feed what anxiety there is. These things are usually anxiety-driven, and this sounds like a mild case. Does it need professional intervention? Don't think so, not from what we're being told. But I'd be monitoring it and observing unobtrusively and carefully. I'm sure you have good, healthy foodstuffs at home. He's skinny. Well, is he healthy skinny? Is there any sign of excessive lethargy and loss of energy during the day or whatnot? If he's eating properly and he's very active and has a good lifestyle, you have very little to worry about.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I'm just concerned about his coping strategy, and his fallback position is, I want to diet. Let's get that word out of his head so that he replaces it with, I'm determined to eat healthily.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, yeah, a better way going on. In fact, myself and David, just before we started, we're talking about the joy of getting to read. The next question starts, my son hates reading. We make a point of doing it every night at bedtime and at weekends. I sit with him for about an hour on a Saturday to read. I grew up loving books and want to share this with my son. He's 7, is a good reader in school, but just wants to be on the tablet or watching telly. I set limits to all screens and make him play outside, but I really encourage the reading. He groans purposely, doesn't pay attention, and refuses to read with me. It's so important to read, and I think this might be a phase, but how can I make him enjoy this more? We've started the Harry Potter books, and it makes me so sad to see him so uninterested.
Too much battling around the reading here. This is looks to me like a classic case of when I was a child, I loved to do X, Y, or Z, and I want my child to love to do X, Y, or Z.
Yes.
And child is going to stubbornly refuse to want to enjoy X, Y, or Z, and set on a bit of a temporary lifestyle chase to defeat you, which they can, by the way. They can defeat us. Now, he must be interested in something out there in this great, wide, and wonderful world. And whatever he's interested in is something that he's much more likely to want to read about. Now, it doesn't matter what he's interested in. It could be saddles from the Old West in different styles, to Manchester United, to rocketry. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Get him to the library. Go with him. Introduce him to the children's reference librarian. They're very sensitive and incredibly knowledgeable about these things. And she will direct him to a section in the children's reading room. And it might, maybe he's an advanced reader, so it doesn't have to be the children's reading room. Where there are books on topics he's interested in, let him pick one freely. It doesn't matter what the book is, well, as long as it's healthy and wholesome, of course, which is all that's available in a library, so you have no need to worry about that. If he picks up a book and it looks like it's too advanced for him, do not say, oh, that's a little bit too difficult, we're putting that one back. No, that's the wrong approach. Let him pick what he wants and read what he wants. I think if you approach it from the point of view of high interest, let's avoid battles. You want to read with them an hour on a Saturday? What child wants to sit for an hour and read on a Saturday? They want to be outside and do stuff. Mm. Or in his case, he wants screen time. Limit that screen time. Let's cut it down now.
Yeah.
This business of screen time, I don't know where it's leading us, Sean. I have concerns about it. But family, parents, you've got to get a grip on this. You've got to set limits. It starts early.
Oh, it absolutely does.
And if you're not a loser.
But though I'm also interested to know that for a seven-year-old, what's the seven-year-old looking at on a tablet? And is part of that, is he reading stuff?
Probably YouTube, more likely than not.
Yeah.
The vast majority of things, as far as my somewhat limited experience, that children and teenagers are viewing on screen, with the exception of some children who might be a little eccentric and whatnot, is visually oriented.
Yeah.
YouTube is massive. And parents erroneously often think and assume that YouTube is harmless because it's heavily moderated.
Yeah.
But it is not.
It is not heavily
There's
moderated.
A lot of children's YouTube videos that are quite objectionable.
Mm.
Was introduced to some of them by a young lad that came into the office who was concerned about his brother, who was seven, watching some of these things. I was appalled at what I saw. Puppets mimicking incredibly rude and obscene gestures of all kinds, some of which were sexual in nature, which wouldn't mean much to a seven-year-old, but they were just grossly inappropriate and freely available on YouTube.
Yeah.
Let us not assume. Always check and see what your child is watching.
Mm.
But for God's sakes, this boy is seven. What's he doing in front of a screen all the time? How much time should he have? A half hour a day, I would think, if he were my boy.
Yeah.
If he was even lucky enough to get the half hour, by the way, because I'd pretty much wager where I'm at now, he wouldn't have any screen time.
Now, she says he's a good reader at school, so there's not. So developing the skills. Is it important then at all whether he's? Some people are readers, some people aren't. Some people read for pleasure, some people don't.
Yeah, the most important thing is to encourage a child to read, not to order them to read. This formality of let's sit down and we're going to read every Saturday together for an hour is artificial. That's not what people do in life.
Mm.
Children will tend to enjoy reading when they observe the adults in the house and other people reading. Doesn't matter what you read. Screen is off, television off. You're sitting with a newspaper, Hello Magazine, who cares? Deep literature, Dickens, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
If they observe the significant in adults in their life reading something, they're much more likely to want to read something themselves.
Yeah.
So there are ways you can do this without turning it into a big battle of the wills. He's going to win. You engage a child in a battle of the wills, the child will defeat you. They have more time, more energy.
Fiona wants to know, what does David think of homeschooling? I'm a mother of four and considering it, I feel it's the best fit for my family.
I don't understand what that means. What do I think of homeschooling? Not a hell of a lot, to be honest. I don't think it does any harm to anyone in the long term. Why any parent in this busy modern world would choose to do that is beyond me. Now, what do we learn in school besides reading, writing, and arithmetic? We learn how to get along with a disparate, wide group of human beings, many of whom are different from us, different now today in modern Ireland in cultural background, in mother tongue, in skin color, in dress attire, in lifestyle choices. These are skills that are easy to learn in a classroom setting because they're informal and we just learn them. We imbue ourselves with them, assuming the classroom is a harmonious and gentle accepting environment in which 99.99% of them are, particularly in our primary schools. Those are the things we learn. And those are the things that are far more important than reading, writing, and arithmetic. Mm. Because if you have only reading and writing and arithmetic, you're going to be a misfit in life. That's a guarantee. If you don't understand yourself and others and how to interact. And so the stakes are high for homeschooling. Now, I am not implying that children who are homeschooled don't mix with other children. Of course they do. And homeschooling is much more than just sitting at home at the kitchen table, poring through the books. There are lots of ancillary activities that go along with it. And there's a very wide and very active homeschool network in Ireland in which children who are homeschooled often go to camps for a week, often meet up on weekends at different activities, et cetera. So there are ample opportunities. Am I personally in favor of it? To be honest with you, no. Mm. Will it do any harm? Probably not.
Well, depending when you send them to proper school, or if you ever send them to proper school.
If you ever send them to proper school, yeah. And I don't know. I haven't looked into the research on that, particularly here in Ireland.
Well, because it just strikes me that and we've probably all had this experience. You can look back at your school days and say, that teacher was a great teacher.
Yes.
That teacher was a ho-hum teacher. Fiona has no idea whether she's a good teacher or a bad teacher. So it's a big ask to educate four kids whether she doesn't know if she's good or bad or indifferent.
Okay, let's take a look at that, because you hit on something important here. If a parent ipso facto is going to be considered a good and effective teacher, we can close down the colleges of education tomorrow. Why would someone go through 4 years of a grueling program or 2 years in the postgraduate diploma to qualify and put themselves through the torment and the rigors of primary school teaching if any parent can do it? We learn more in primary school teaching college than just how to deliver a curriculum. We learn about child development. Mm. We learn about child psychology. We learn about the sociology and history of education. No parent knows that. Well, no. I mean,
unless they've got those qualifications.
Unless they have those qualifications. Yeah. So there's more to being a teacher than just sitting down with the book. Homeschooling also, of course, must be registered and supervised with the Department of Education, because the department wants to ensure that you are teaching the curriculum. So this isn't as simple as just let's get the books, kiddies, and sit down today, and we'll all can be in our PJs and have a nice cup of Bosco while we're learning about our, algebraic equations or something. So it needs to be thought through. Question parents should ask themselves always, am I doing it for the children or for me?
Mm.
Now, Fiona is saying it's the best fit for my family. I don't know how she's come to that conclusion. I have no idea what that means. I think Fiona, and if she has a partner, should ask themselves 100 questions about why they think it's the best fit for their family. And once they've answered every one of those 100 questions, they should ask themselves 100 more and then make a decision. I don't know what that means. It's the best fit for my family. Does that mean I don't have to inconvenience myself by getting up very early in the morning and screaming at the children to get them out of bed and do the school run? Is that what it means?
Well, that's
not a reason for homeschooling.
I know it's not, but that would be easy compared to the four kids being at home and educating them. That's a job of work.
Maybe and maybe not. I don't know. But I'd sure like answers to the question.
Yeah. And some of the questions we've already had in for David Carey. One texter says, I'm always arguing with the kids over screen time because I'm always hearing how screen time will cause problems. But I never hear what the problems are. What harm is it actually doing?
Well, we don't have a definitive body of evidence for that yet. We have some evidence that indicates excessive screen time would have the obvious effect of reduced physical activity time, movement of the body. The brain requires movement. It's absolutely essential. We have the dynamic of the younger children who, let's say, before the age of six, who are on the screen excessively, not being able to experience through movement, activity, and playful exploration of the world, the building of neuronal substructures, which will later help them master complicated mathematical, philosophical issues as they go through the curriculum, because the brain needs to know what things mean at the felt level.
Mm.
simple example. You collect a bunch of empty cereal boxes and you give them the child, a young child, give them those to play with and they can build a house and whatnot. What are they learning when they touch, feel, and put those things up? They're learning that something is a rectangle. They don't even have that concept yet, right? But it will be taught. If you've actually felt and touched and played with the rectangle, you know it. You know that if you put a cereal box on the table and you put a ball next to it, which of the two is most likely to roll off the table? The ball. Mm. Now you're learning something about gravity and what a sphere is and stability of physical objects and mass and density. Those will be tackled in secondary school and physics. You can't learn that through a screen.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
cannot learn that, parents, I really want to emphasize that, through, in inverted commas, educational software that teaches mathematical concepts, et cetera. Because what those softwares actually teach is mathematical operations without an underpinning of the concepts.
Yes.
And therefore, when you move on to geometry, you know all the operations and trigonometry, but you don't know which one to apply because you have no mathematical knowledge underpinning it about the conceptual basis of math. So a lot of this stuff, I am highly skeptical about all of this and absolutely opposed, said this numerous times, to supplying secondary school children with laptops. I think that is absolute rubbish and nonsense and unnecessary. We really want to do it right and lighten their load. Two sets of books, one they can keep at home, one they can keep in school. Mm. That way they don't have to break their backs carrying them back and forth.
Well, some schools are doing this iPad thing now where all the books are on an iPad.
Don't need it. Ridiculous. Yeah. Useless crap.
Megan says, my kids hate reading because it reminds them too much of school. I've struggled with this, but books that are humorous are their favourite and they'll generally read them for me. They are not into the Harry Potters of the world, but as long as they read, I don't care, she says. On the subject of homeschooling, someone says, you don't know if the teacher in the school is any better than being homeschooled. If it's what she wants to do and is willing to put the hard work in to be fully prepared, then let her give it a go. Well, it's not up to David or I to... You know,
I have no problem with it. I have no problem with her giving it a go. I would, however, disagree with the first part of the equation there, that you can bet your boots that on average, and in fact much higher than average, the classroom teacher who's fully qualified knows a hell of a lot more about teaching than most parents. In regards to the reading thing, don't force it. Let them read what they want. If he hates reading because of the reading he's having to do at school, that's a problem because a lot of what we have to read in school is junk. Poetry is a real good example that the poetry that they give to a lot of young children just isn't intrinsically interesting enough. And it's also taught poorly.
Yes. Yeah.
And why are we dissecting poetry, by the way, at secondary school? And all this literary analysis, I think it's just useless.
Oh, you pick it up. If you have a marvelous piece of engineering, but it's delivered to people not as a marvelous piece, it's taken apart and laid flat in front of them, then you go, I don't get why that's a marvelous piece of engineering.
Yeah, exactly.
Our eldest daughter loves being a bit of a goody two-shoes and is always fawning over family members and neighbours to be in their best books. However, when she makes a mistake over something, she really takes it badly and becomes very down and upset for long periods. I've taken the approach of not overemphasizing her good deeds or her mistakes. So I'll say great job and leave it at that, or not to worry, love. And I try to move on as fast as possible. I try to teach my kids that not everyone is perfect and shouldn't try to be. Just do your best and you'll be fine. But our eldest seems to operate in these extremes. My husband just takes my leads. Am I in taking the right approach?
You're basically taking the right approach. I would suggest one change. Instead of saying great job, I would ask very simply, did you put enough effort into it this time to get the results you wanted? Children will always answer honestly. And if they say, yes, I did, then you can, of course, say, well, just try again, and perhaps the result will be a little bit better or different, and leave it, walk away, and just settle it. Some children are born predisposed to be perfectionists. That never works out well in life, by the way. And they have to learn coping strategies and skills. So sometimes thoughtful questions will lead them to look at things a little differently. Well, okay, so you didn't do well. Tell me what you think. What's going through your head? What are you saying to yourself that makes you feel so bad? You may hear things like, I'm stupid, I'm a failure, etc. And that's stuff you have to work with a little bit.
Yeah.
If just she's temperamentally a bit hypersensitive, that's temperament, and you can't do much with it. You can put the bridle of reason on it. That's a long-term project.
Yeah.
You can't accomplish that in 6 months or a year. Now, she's a bit of a goody two-shoes, you know? God, aren't they the ones? I always worry about them the most, by the way. Rebellious ones, I often say to myself, they'll be all right because we need some rebellion in this world. We're burdened far too much with the notion that I can conform to everything and not ever complain faster than anyone else. And that's leading us down some very wrong paths, I think.
Yeah, and she's putting an awful burden on herself by being a goody two-shoes.
Yeah, absolutely. No need to be a goody two-shoes. Try to be a baddie two-shoes today. Get her to play act at being a little bad once in a while.
Yeah. My son is six and an only child. He's been asking us for a brother or sister for a long time. My husband and I have been trying for about 2 years and are having issues with conceiving. We're going down the road of IVF and are hopeful, but his constant request is getting very tiresome. He's even asking his uncles and aunts if they can help out with a sibling, which I find incredibly embarrassing, as if I've not told people of our struggles. I've been quite upset by it all and found myself snapping when he pleads with us for a brother. He's reduced me to tears. He's been in tears and my husband is caught a bit in the middle. I've told him to stop bringing up the subject and I've sent him to his room a few times. Is there a way to explain this to him that shows he's being insensitive and it's not a conversation we should be having outside of the house?
He is not being insensitive. He is being a six-year-old child. You have issues. You need some help with this. First of all, why are you concealing from your family that you're having difficulty conceiving? This is hardly a hanging offense in this
jurisdiction. It's not, but in Ireland, people are just so weird about that.
Well, time
to see it as some sort of moral fame.
Yeah, well, we got to come to grips with some of this.
Yeah.
This is the case of parental upset being projected onto a child. Now, he's insensitive. How can a six-year-old be insensitive? For God's sakes, get your head around this. He's a child. Mm. He wants a little brother or sister. Isn't that wonderful that he has so much love in his heart that he wants to share it? Isn't that a good thing?
Mm.
Why should it become an object of such consternation that both parent and child are reduced to tears and he's punished for asking for a brother or sister? This makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Go get some short-term counseling to work out your issues with your conception problems together with you and your husband. Get over it. Move forward. Do what's right. Tell your family because he's spilling the beans anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So now it's time to fess up to what's reality. Those that don't like it and make a moral judgment against you are surgically excised from your social network. You get rid of them and you stay away from them. They're toxins.
Mm.
Those that accept you, you lovingly embrace them and you keep them aware of your progress as you wish.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to talk about it a lot, you share with your loved ones and extended family. We're going through this. We're looking at IVF. We really don't want to focus on it a lot. You know, there's more to our lives than just this. So just letting you know, this is what we're doing. You've got to correct this relationship with this little six-year-old. This is not healthy.
Yeah. Neil says, I know a lady who works in a creche and she handed a four-year-old a book the other day. He began to swipe the front of the book. And I've seen children do that too.
What does that mean, swipe? I'm sorry.
He thought it was, he didn't think it was a book. He thought it was an iPad.
Oh, sorry.
David, Kerry, thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.